When my father finally died, he left the Redskins tickets to my brother, the house on Shepherd Street to my sister, and the house on the vineyard to me. The football tickets, of course, were the most valuable item in the estate, but then Addison was always the biggest favorite and the biggest fan, the only one of the children who came close to sharing my father's obsession, as well as the only one of us actually on speaking terms with my father the last time he drew his will. Addison is a gem, if you don't mind the religious nonsense, but Mariah and I have not been close in the years since I joined the enemy, as she puts it, which is why my father bequeathed us houses 400 miles apart. I was glad to have the Vineyard House, a tidy little Victorian on Ocean Park in the town of Oak Bluffs, with lots of frilly carpenter's Gothic along the sagging porch, and a lovely morning view of the white bandshell, set amidst a vast sea of smooth green grass and outlined against a vaster sea of bright blue water. My parents liked to tell how they bought the house for a song back in the 60s, when Martha's Vineyard and the black middle-class colony that summers there were still smart and secret. Lately, in my father's oft-repeated view, the vineyard had tumbled downhill, for it was crowded and noisy, and besides, they let everyone in now, by which he meant black people less well off than we. There were too many new houses going up, he would moan, many of them despoiling the roads and woods near the best beaches. There were even condominiums of all things, especially near Edgartown, which he could not understand because the southern part of the island is what he always called Kennedy Country, the land where rich white vacationers and their bratty children congregate, and a part angry, part jealous article of my father's faith held that white people allow the members of what he liked to call the darker nation to swarm and crowd, while keeping the open spaces for themselves. And yet, amidst all the clamor, the Vineyard House is a small marvel. I loved it as a child and love it more now. Every room, every dark wooden stair, every window whispers its secret share of memories. As a child, I broke an ankle and a wrist in a fall from the gabled roof outside the master bedroom. Now, more than 30 years after, I no longer recall why I thought it would be fun to climb there. 2 summers later, as I wandered the house in post-midnight darkness searching for a drink of water, an odd mewling sound dropped me into a crouch on the landing, whence a week or so shy of my 10th birthday, I peered through the balustrade and thus caught my first stimulating glimpse of the primal mystery of the adult world. I saw my brother, Addison, 4 years older than I, tussling with our cousin Sally, a dark beauty of 15, on the threadbare burgundy sofa opposite the television, down in the shadowy nook of the stairwell, neither of them quite fully dressed, although I was somehow unable to figure out precisely what articles of clothing were missing. My instinct was to flee. Instead, seized by a weirdly thrilling lethargy, I watched them roll about, their arms and legs intertwined in seemingly random postures. Making out, we called it in those simpler days, a phrase pregnant with purposeful ambiguity, perhaps as a protection against the burden of specificity. My own teen years, like my adulthood, dreary and overlong, brought no similar adventures, least of all on the vineyard. The highlight, I suppose, came near the end of our summer sojourn as a full family, when I was about 13, and Mariah, a rather pudgy 15 and angry at me for some smart mouth crack about her weight, borrowed a box of kitchen matches, then stole a Topps Willie Mays baseball card that I treasured, and climbed the dangerous pull-down ladder to the attic, 8 rickety wooden slats, most of them loose. When I caught up with her, my sister burned the card before my eyes as I wept helplessly, falling to my knees in the wretched afternoon heat of the dusty, low-ceilinged loft, the two of us already set in our lifelong pattern of animosity. That same summer, my sister Abigail, in those days still known as the baby, even though just a bit more than a year younger than I, made the local paper, the Vineyard Gazette, when she won something like 8 different prizes at the county fair on a muggy August night, by throwing darts at balloons and baseballs at milk bottles, and so solidified her position as the family's only potential athlete. None of the rest of us dared try, for our parents always preached brains over brawn.